It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
We have not spoken directly with the whistleblower. We would like to, but I'm sure the whistleblower has concerns that he has not been advised, as the law requires, by the Inspector General or the Director of National Intelligence, just as to how he is to communicate with Congress.
Yeah, so, but I think the whistleblower figured that out, and you're going to hear this if you haven't already. That was Adam Schiff, and he was speaking, what, back in September 17th? No, we haven't talked to the whistleblower. No. But now we find out because of a New York Times article. That's not true. Catherine Herridge had the report last night. Let's listen.
Brett, confirmation that the whistleblower reached out to the Democrat-controlled House Intelligence Committee raises new questions about their motivation and potential political bias.
In a statement to Fox News, Democratic Chairman Adam Schiff's spokesman confirmed, quote, the whistleblower contacted the committee for guidance on how to report possible wrongdoing within the jurisdiction of the intelligence community. Schiff's office deflected Fox's questions on timing, whether the whistleblower contact occurred days or weeks before the complaint was declassified, adding, quote, at no point did the committee review or receive the complaint in advance. Chairman Schiff does not know the identity of the whistleblower and has not met with or spoken with the whistleblower or their counsel. At a previously scheduled news conference, the president, who got the story as it broke, unloaded on the Democratic chairman.
I give a lot of respect for the New York Times for putting it out. Just happened as I'm walking up here, they handed it to me. That's a big story. He knew long before, and he helped write it, too. It's a scam.
Earlier in the day, before the Schiff whistleblower connection was known, the Democratic chairman of the House Intelligence Committee and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said the president's own words are proof of wrongdoing. They again pointed to the transcript of his call with the Ukrainian leader, where Mr. Trump asked Zelensky to investigate alleged corruption involving Joe Biden and his son.
It's unworthy of the Constitution of the United States to do what he did in that call. And he admitted it to me, said it's perfect. No, it's not perfect. It's wrong.
So that was the first part of that press conference. Catherine wasn't finished, but I want to make something clear. The New York Times reported this. Adam Schiff, you may or may not know, in tweets before we even saw the transcript or the it wasn't a transcript. It was recorded by people who listen in. It's transcribed from their own listening into their own hand. What the conversation was between the president and the president of Ukraine. So the New York Times is reporting, and we know that Adam Schiff was talking in his tweets, saying many of the things, reflecting what actually turned out to be in that whistleblower report before he ever said he talked to the whistleblower. That's part of the problem here. Catherine goes on with her report. Let's listen.
With Democrats requesting more Ukraine records and threatening White House subpoenas, Schiff said he expects blocks.
So we'll have to decide whether to litigate or how to litigate. We're not fooling around here, though.
Behind closed doors in a secure facility, the State Department watchdog Steve Linick met congressional staffers offering what was characterized as a, quote, urgent briefing on Ukraine. After one Democrat described curious documents.
This packet of information is simply meant to advance the conspiracy theory that Mueller's finding that there was a sweeping and systematic campaign by Russia to interfere in our election was specious and fallacious.
On Thursday, the administration's former special envoy to Ukraine, Kirk Volker, who resigned after his name surfaced in the whistleblower complaint, sits for a transcribed interview with House investigators. Republicans accused Democrats of searching for a crime.
They've been trying to impeach him literally from the day he was elected. They know the transcript is not enough.
Fox News asked the whistleblower's legal team if there was a single contact or multiple. They told us their client officially filed their concerns in August, adding, quote, there was no contact between the legal team and Congress until nearly a month after the whistleblower complaint was submitted to the intelligence community's inspector general.
Okay, in case that wasn't clear, yesterday the House Intelligence Committee under Adam Schiff called or the inspector. No, that's not exactly true. The inspector general, I got to get this exactly right. The inspector general of the State Department asked for an urgent meeting behind closed doors. Now, I don't know much about that yet, honestly, other than what that congressman who was a Democrat said. Oh, it was nothing. You know, he gave us these papers. We don't even know what he's talking about. Well, I'm pretty sure I know about what that's about, and I'm going to get into it in just a second. But he's the Democratic congressman that was, you heard in Catherine's report, said it was just nothing. What is he talking about? Where did these papers come from? So, and in on Capitol Hill today now, there will be testimony. Let me make this as clear as I'm capable of making here. Kurt Volker was the U.S. Special Representative to Ukraine. And he is testifying before the House Intelligence Committee today under Adam Schiff. But here's the twist. You say, well, and remember, he resigned after the whistleblower complaint came out. And that was always a mystery to me. I didn't, because I didn't know that much about it. I didn't recognize his name. That's it. But when he was acting as the U.S. envoy for Ukraine, he met with Vadim Pozharsky, who was an advisor to the board of directors on Burisma Group. That is that energy company in Ukraine that Hunter Biden was a director for, the one that the prosecutor was investigating, the prosecutor that Joe Biden threatened to remove all of American aid if they did not fire that prosecutor. Remember that story? Remember Joe Biden's profane little piece of information before the before a group of people bragging about how he had threatened the president of Ukraine, then president, not the current president, but the one that was in power before, that if he did not fire the prosecutor, American aid would be withheld. And we know it was because he was investigating Burisma Group. So back to Kurt Volker. Kurt again, is the special envoy for Ukraine from the U.S. And in that capacity, and inappropriately, he met with Vadim Pozharsky, an advisor to the board of directors for Burisma. He met them in New York last year, even as Trump's private lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, was pressing Ukraine to investigate the company and the Bidens' involvement with it. So Kurt Volker has, he's probably not going to be on the president's side. Let's just say that. Now, here's the added wrinkle. This is something you need to understand. We know that Nancy Pelosi has not called for a vote to start the impeachment process. What she declared last week was that she was going to start an impeachment inquiry. Why would she do that? Why wouldn't she call for a vote? Well, part of the reason is because until they call for a vote, the Republicans have no right and no ability to call for witnesses. In fact, I have a particular story here that I have that I want to tell you, because the Republicans are shaking the trees over this one. They have another. I'm going to have to find the article. I don't know. Here it is. GOP demands equal playing field ahead of former Ukraine envoy Volker's scheduled testimony, because right now, well, I'll just read it to you. In the Democratic-led impeachment probe against President Trump, they have decided, the head of the committee, Adam Schiff, that Republicans will not be allowed to ask any questions. They can't ask any questions or have equal representation during the hearing. They can't even be in the room at the same time. Volker is scheduled to be the first key witness to testify as part of the probe on that July 25th phone call between Trump and the president of Ukraine. And this is a quote. This is from, I'm not sure which congressman, sorry. But here's the quote. I was alarmed. Oh, it was the lead Republican on the House of Foreign Affairs Committee. I don't know who that is, actually. Michael McCaul. I was alarmed to learn less than 24 hours before the first interview is scheduled to start, that's with Volker, that it will be led by the Intelligence Committee and that questioning will be done solely by their staff. We were told that only a single Republican professional staffer from the Foreign Affairs Committee will be allowed to attend, while the majority will have two. These constraints on committee and Republican participation are unacceptable and at odds with House rules and general fairness. We demand equal representation and participation in this inquiry. There is too much at stake for America and for Congress. So, do you see what's happening? Because she's not called for an official vote, this is what's going to happen in these committees. The Democrats are going to have complete control over the questions. The Republicans will not be allowed to ask questions. And look, if they really thought the president was guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors, I can tell you, because I remember with President Clinton's impeachment, And before that, with Richard Nixon's, I was young and in Germany at the time that was happening, but I paid close attention to that. There was this real sobriety. I mean, it was not a small thing. It was not like glee or like a railroading job to impeach a president. It was, let's look at the evidence. Let's work together. It was a bipartisan effort in both cases, really. In fact, I was pretty frustrated, to be honest with you, when Bill Clinton was impeached in the House, and then the Senate, the Republican-held Senate, was just embarrassing. They treated it like a joke. And I could tell you about that sometime. Maybe I will. Right now, what we have is the Democrats are gleefully rushing. They want to get this done by Thanksgiving. They want to get it over with so that this I have from inside information. You've heard some of this on the news, too. Their goal is to keep this whole impeachment thing about the Ukrainian call, or the call between the president and the Ukrainian president. They want to make that the sole reason, because they feel like their last attempts to come after the president with impeachment have been too complex, not understandable by you regular folk. So this reduces to a soundbite much better. The president tried to bully, use mob tactics to get dirt on his political opponent in 2020. That's the soundbite, and that's what they think will stick. And it is sticking, I think. I think they're very smart, very good at that. So they want to keep it to this. They don't want it to expand and go on and on. They think they made a mistake with the Bob Mueller report. It just went on and on. People got confused. They lost interest. So they want to rush this through and get the impeachment. But they don't want to take a vote, because if they take a vote, then the Republicans have a right to question witnesses. Now, this is going to be interesting, because the prosecutor that was fired in Ukraine, the one that Joe Biden bragged about getting fired, wants to talk. And he says very clearly, in fact, the fired prosecutor at the center of the Ukraine controversy said during a private interview with President Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, earlier this year that he was told to back off an investigation involving the natural gas firm, that's Burisma, that was linked to Joe Biden's son. Fox News obtained a copy of Giuliani's notes from January 2019. Mr. Shokin attempted to continue the investigations, but on or around June or July 2015, the U.S. Ambassador Jeffrey Pyatt told him that the investigation has to be handled with white gloves, which, according to Mr. Shokin, implied to do nothing. So Mr. Shokin wants to come here and testify. Meanwhile, yesterday, the president of Finland was in town at the White House. The president found out about this Adam Schiff's contact with the whistleblower, his staff's contact and his briefing, long before anyone else seemed to know about it. And so when he got on stage, the reporters went wild with questions. So I want to hear you to hear how John Roberts, well, here, I'll just tell you, political, this is how they characterize the exchange. Trump profanely lashed out at the pair in the middle of their news conference. And then this is the storyline. Trump he ruined that press conference. He was lashing out. He embarrassed the president of Finland. John Roberts had his own spin on it. Let's listen. Clip 3.
President Trump learned of the whistleblower meeting with a Schiff staff member just before walking to the podium with the Finnish president today.
Your response to the fact that that happened, and that Schiff may have learned some of what the whistleblower knew prior to the complaint?
Well, I think it's a scandal that he knew before. I go a step further. I think he probably helped write it.
While there is nothing to suggest Adam Schiff helped write the complaint, it was one of a number of times the president went off on him today, also ripping Schiff for his embellished opening statement at the Joe McGuire hearing.
And I'm going to say this only 7 times, so you better listen good. I want you to make up dirt on my political opponent, understand lots of it.
He made up my conversation. He actually made it up. It should be criminal. It should be treasonous. He should be forced to resign from Congress. Adam Schiff, he's a lowlife.
But in his news conference with the Finnish president, President Trump getting testy when pressed by Jeff Mason of Reuters what it was he wanted the Ukrainian president to do about Joe and Hunter Biden.
Biden and his son are stone cold crooked. Don't be rude.
Biden punching right back today.
He's the issue. Nobody has ever asserted that I did anything wrong except he and what's that fellow's name? Rudy Hootie or whatever.
Okay, we're going to come back on the other side, and I'm going to finish this discussion because we're leaving it hanging. Sandy Rios in the morning, AFR Talk.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of 6, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife Jenny was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
I'm Peter Rosenberger, and this is your Caregiver Minute. I've got to, I need to, I have to. These are all statements made by every caregiver at some point, and sadly, all too frequently. The feeling of obligation drives us to push ourselves to dangerous stress levels for our health, finances, and emotional stability. But the fact is, we didn't cause what is happening to our loved ones, and we certainly can't fix it. As caregivers, we're not owners. We're stewards. By embracing stewardship, it frees us to accept we are doing the best we can with what we have. Feeling obligated can quickly take us into resentment, which compromises our ability to live healthy lives and serve as healthy caregivers. Adopting an attitude of stewardship, however, helps us breathe easier and treat ourselves with mercy, all of which equips us to be a better caregiver.
This has been your Caregiver Minute with Peter Rosenberger, brought to you by Standing with Hope, a ministry for the wounded and those who care for them. There's more information at standingwithhope.com.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Democrats play the name and shame game. That story coming up.
Truett McConnell University.
So my name is Atara. I'm a senior and my major is psychology. I love Truett. Maybe a lot of other schools out there. You can go to bigger schools. You can go to schools that's way far away from home. But in the end, one of the things that I realized is that God called me here, and that's why Truett is the perfect place for me. And if God called you here, then it's the perfect place for you also.
Are you called? Visit Truett.edu today.
In 2012, Dr. Angela McCaskill was suspended from Gallaudet University. Her crime was signing a petition supporting a referendum on the definition of marriage. A faculty member combed through the list of petition signers and flagged her name. In 2008, Margie Christofferson of Los Angeles faced the leftist mob too. She worked at a diner in Beverly Hills. She gave $100 to support Proposition 8, a ballot initiative that banned gay marriage. Her donation was exposed by the sex and gender revolutionaries, and her life was turned upside down. The police were called to control a mob that descended on the restaurant. She never advertised her political beliefs. She never attended a march or rally. She just donated $100 to the cause, and that set off the mob. Get in their faces. Absolutely harass them. That's what Maxine Waters said. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And those countries should pay more to help Ukraine. Ask a question, please.
Thank you, sir.
What about Mr. Biden? What did you want about Biden? What did you want him to look into on Biden?
Look, Biden and his son are stone cold crooked. And you know it. His son walks out with millions of dollars. The kid knows nothing. You know it, and so do we. Go ahead, ask a question.
The question, sir, was what did you want President Zelensky to do about Vice President Biden and his son, Hunter?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, it was just a follow-up of what I just asked you, sir.
Listen, you ready? We have the President of Finland. Ask him a question.
I have one for him. I just wanted to follow up on the one that I asked you, which
did
was,
you hear
what
me?
Did you want
did you hear
to...
me?
Yes,
ask
sir.
Him a question.
I will. But
I've given you a long answer. Ask this gentleman a question. Don't be rude.
No, sir, I don't want to be rude. I just wanted you to have a chance to answer the question that I asked
you. I've answered everything. It's a whole hoax. And you know who's playing into the hoax? People like you.
All right, so that was an example of the exchange yesterday between the president and Jeff Mason, who was with Reuters. John Roberts, in his report last night, talked about how nice Jeff was, and he didn't understand why the president would go after him so viciously. But I want to put this in context. And then also they're blaming the president for, you know, ruining that press conference and embarrassing the president of Finland. You heard that exchange. The reporters were asking all these questions of President Trump. They were the ones asking the question. The President Trump's trying to answer their questions. And even then, when it was Jeff Mason, was acknowledged so that he would ask a question of the president of Finland. Jeff then, no, instead, asked the president another question about the scandal. And that's why the president lost his temper. I don't have a problem with that. And let me just tell you, the president is surrounded. There are people who are loyal to him in the White House, but there are people that are not. He really is on an island. And I am honestly amazed that he has as much control as he has. And so that's my take on that. I just wanted to share that with you. I don't have a problem with what his exchange. I want to give you a couple more pieces of really important information. We are going to go to the phone lines today, but not quite yet, so hang on. This is interesting. This is Ryan Saavedra. Giuliani is claiming that he has evidence, pretty close to overwhelming evidence, that it was Obama that ordered Hillary and the Democrats to dig up dirt in Ukraine on Trump. And that's an interesting article from Ben Shapiro's website. And a lot of this is coming from an article I mentioned yesterday, which we will post on our Facebook page. It was a report by Politico, of all things. And as I said, Politico is not, trust me, it's not on the president's side. It's a pretty left-leaning outlet in D.C. It's one of the D.C., it's not just D.C., but it certainly is one that insiders in D.C. read. And it was printed, it was written January of 2017. Ukrainian efforts to sabotage Trump backfire. I will read just a little bit of it. I read some of it yesterday, but I want to repeat it. We will put this on our Facebook page because you should see it. Ukrainian government officials tried to help Hillary Clinton and undermine Trump by publicly questioning his fitness for office. They also disseminated documents implicating a top Trump aide, that's Manafort, in corruption and suggested they were investigating the matter only to back away after the election. And they helped Clinton's allies research damaging information on Trump and his advisors. That's a Politico investigation, and it's actually quite long. It's got 18 pages, and we'll put that on our Facebook page. And even if you can't read all of it, it is just a good tool to explain that even from media on the left, we know that Ukraine was helping the Democrats. We also know that CrowdStrike, entity that the DNC hired to find out who hacked their server, was out of Ukraine. And it was that CrowdStrike, that's what President Trump asked the president of Ukraine to investigate. Please look into CrowdStrike, because that is the whole center and nerve center and potential blow-up of this whole Russian collusion nonsense. And the Democrats know that, and I've told you before and will repeat again, that's why they are desperate to take out the president now. Now they've got to discredit him. They've got to discredit Giuliani. They've got to get rid of William Barr and John Huber. John's not been mentioned yet, but he will be. Anyone loyal to the president is in great danger, I think, if the Democrats prevail on this. I was encouraged last night because I felt when Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi came out to make a statement after the New York Times article on Adam Schiff's lies, really, about his knowledge of the whistleblower, I felt that they were on the defensive instead of being so cocky and proud and wide-eyed as they often are. And so I know that's a subtle thing, but I found it encouraging. All right, I have not asked you what you think. And you are, you know, the citizens of the United States sitting back there listening to all of this. And even with me, there's so much. I'm trying to make it as clear as I can. But it is a challenge. But I want to know what the conversations are like. Are people paying attention? Do they care about this? Do people that you know, are they serious about this problem? Are they willing to engage? Are you talking to your neighbors? And just your own observations. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And while we wait for you to call, let me just say, couple of things unrelated to this scandal that I've been hearing from listeners. This is from Mike. He wanted me to know that in regard to there being good information, I mentioned that when you, for instance, I talked about these deceptions and delusions that have been in place for decades, and I cited evolution, and I was complaining that even when my son was little, when we go to museums, it was always assumed that evolution was true. And it's hard because it's like part of our DNA that we're supposed to believe this. So Mike is saying that Answers in Genesis has an online bookstore. Answers in Genesis, a great online bookstore. If you'd like something for your children to kind of balance or counter that narrative in the right way. Also, Carl wrote and said he teaches high school age kids as well as college age small groups. And he feels that this whole business of climate change is poisoning them. He calls it a climate change theology. I think he's right. And he says, can you send me to anything that I can use for curriculum? And yes, I can. Let me mention again, Cornwall Alliance. Cornwall Alliance. We'll put it on our Facebook page again. Cornwall has, it's for the stewardship of the creation of the earth or something. That's the second part of the name. But Cornwall Alliance, they have videos, books. Cal Beisner is the head of that. Cal was a theologian, but he also writes, I think, in a way that it's very scientific, and I think that scientifically sound. It's not, so I think it'll be valuable. The other thing that's more edgy, more hip, if as you were, is Climate Depot. Climate Depot has some great resources, so we'll put those on our Facebook page. We put President Trump's UN speech on our Facebook page several times, and many of you listened to it. I hope that you would all listen to it because it was so powerful. He talked about national sovereignty, the sanctity of human life. He talked about how open borders is cruel. It's not a kind policy at all. It was powerful. And I hope that many of you who never heard it last week because of the impeachment nonsense would listen to it. And we got some great comments about that. Sarah wrote, she said, so thankful for our the president, but always remember our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And a good reminder, Sarah, she includes the text of the song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness. Just a word about that, just for you, Sarah, and others listening. I got a photo from someone I love dearly, a pastor, of like a mock-up of the Last Supper, and it showed President Trump as Jesus, and it showed Jerry Falwell Jr. and Franklin Graham and Dr. Jeffress and a few others surrounding like disciples. And my friend said, I think I see you in that picture, because Paula, the minister, the blonde minister that the pastor's close to, was also in the picture, Paula White. And he thought it was funny, but you know, I don't think it's funny. There was no confusion about who Jesus is and who the Messiah is. We're talking about the survival of the nation. We should worry about who the king is. I mean, I'm talking metaphorically. He's not king. We should worry about who governs us. We should take responsibility. We should understand the reality of what would happen if we had a different leader. And that's why we fight. But it's not we're confused. He's not the Messiah. No confusion there. I wish I had more time. I could do a whole show on that, but I can't right now. I want to do a shout out to Julia, who is in Mississippi. She's a brand new listener, and she's enjoying the show. I want to mention that this is from MS. I can't remember his first name, but he sends great stuff, and he sent a quote by Abraham Lincoln. We the people are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who would pervert the Constitution. A great quote, and I appreciate that. And this is from Sean, and Sean has a recommendation, and it's a good one. He says he loves One America News Network, and I have watched it not often. Honestly, Sean, I haven't watched it very often, but he says it's available on DirecTV, and also there is an One America News app. We'll put that on our Facebook page, too, just so you can access that. And then... last but not least, I got a very long email from Josh. Josh often writes, and he is not on the same page. Josh is a teacher of some sort. He's a great thinker. He writes some really good stuff. So I'll read what he says. I happen to have a day off because of Rosh Hashanah, so I was able to just listen to the single most dishonest hour of radio I have ever heard you host, and you've had some doozies. I would have called in, but you didn't take calls. Maybe you didn't want to be interrupted by scrutiny. And then he talks about, I don't understand how you can read the transcript of Trump's July 25th phone call with the Ukrainian president and the subsequent whistleblower complaint and not see it clearly for what it is, Trump's effort to get dirt on a political rival in exchange for foreign defense spending. Josh, just one point, because I can't take on all of your, I can't counter everything you're saying here, but I'll just mention this one thing. Do you remember that when the left has been coming after President Trump since he was elected and before, we were investigating President Trump. They were investigating him. But when President Trump asks for this Ukrainian president to look into Joe Biden and Hunter's dealings with Burisma Holding, that's looking for dirt. It's interesting, the play of words, don't you think? And so, but moving on, he says, he's defending Adam Schiff. He says his interpretation of the call, which is correct, that it was the essence of the actual call. Imagine if President Obama had done anything like this, what, pray tell, would your response have been to that, do you think? Josh, maybe you don't realize that President Obama did use American foreign aid in many different terrible ways, from my perspective. He did withhold help to regimes or leaders that he didn't like. In fact, he actively helped overthrow Hosni Mubarak in Egypt so that the Muslim Brotherhood could come marching in. He withheld aid. At the same time, he gave tons of aid off the books, in fact, billions of dollars to the Ayatollahs in Iran. Yeah, so he used foreign aid and very creatively. So, yes, what did I say? Well, you'd have to go back in the archives to figure out what I said about that. He goes and tries to counter everything here. He says that I say, and he has every right to do this. So let me just jump in as best I can. Let's go to the prosecutor that you said Biden got fired because he was worried the prosecutor would investigate the energy company. Let me refer you to this interview with Jake Tapper and Jim Jordan. You notice that Jake repeatedly and accurately pointed out that Joe Biden was trying to oust a prosecutor who was not pursuing corruption, and Jim Jordan would not accept reality and facts. He and you have sacrificed your Christian faith at the altar of Donald Trump. You are doing it solely because he is appointing overwhelmingly white male judges like you. You have all blinded yourselves to his corruption, his well-documented lies, his immorality, his incompetence. He doesn't even know the difference between a hyphen and an apostrophe. I'm going to doubt he can locate Chad on the map either, and his reckless authoritarianism. It's shameful. Josh, you think I support President Trump because he points overwhelmingly white male judges like me. Honestly, I want people of character, and it has nothing to do with color. And I certainly don't care if they're male. I don't care if they're brown or white or whatever. This judge down in Texas who just rendered a verdict on that policeman who shot her neighbor, her black neighbor. She says it was an accident. I just read the article about how this black female judge, I saw the picture, came down from her seat and hugged the woman that she had just convicted and sentenced to, I think, 10 years in prison, and gave her a Bible. Yeah, that's the kind of judges I want, and I don't care what color they are, just to be clear. So you talk about the president's, his incompetence. I'll pick that one. You know what, Josh, it would be hard to prove incompetence on President Trump when you see what he's doing with our trade relations with China. How he has really stopped whatever, how unorthodox the methods, the constant threats from North Korea to us, how he has called European Union out on not paying their fair share, how he's gone before the UN and called them out for their so many nefarious deeds, how he's defended Israel, how he's taken powerful stands on the right to life, how he's talked about the importance of national sovereignty and borders. That's the reason I support President Trump. But what are you worried about? You're worried. You think his incompetence is demonstrated because he doesn't know the difference between a hyphen and an apostrophe. Really, Josh? Really? And I would submit to you, tomorrow I'm going to be interviewing Zach Vorteis, who is a whistleblower from Google. Incredible interview with him, Josh. I wish you would listen to it, because Zach was very deeply a leftist. And he said to me, I'm beginning to see the world so differently. Everything I ever thought is just not turning out to be true. I think that's going to be true of you too, Josh. So I hope you stay listening. Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.
And seeing in the distance, a fig tree in leaf. He went to see if he could find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. From a distance, the fig leaves gave Jesus the impression that there was fruit on the tree. Upon closer inspection, the tree was fruitless. Perfect church attendance and ministry activity cannot replace actual Christ-like fruit produced in our lives. From a distance, it can appear as though we're bearing fruit, but what would we find with a closer look? Are we content with fruitful appearance, or do we yearn for the real thing?
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
I refer to your part-time jobs as what you do outside of your home, outside of your family, to generate an income for your family. Your full-time job is what you do within your family. We're on the go consistently. People are hustling, trying to get it. And I just want to remind everybody to whoa, pump the brakes. Make sure that we are not neglecting our families in the process.
Tune in to the Hamilton Quarter, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Show up at your full-time job, ready to work.
Why engaging our kids is so important. Hmm. Why it's so important that we don't make them feel like they are a burden, like we just can't wait until they're out of the way. Like, the proven fact is that if we disregard our children as they are growing, we are really risking their adherence to the faith as adults.
Airing the Addisons, weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
Ryan Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Nancy Pelosi and her gang of political assassins are still determined to carry out a coup d'etat against President Trump. Since the Russia collusion snipe hunt failed spectacularly after 2 years and $35 million, they have turned to impeachment. But Donald Trump will survive this threat for the same reason he got elected in the first place, evangelicals. 81% of evangelicals voted for Mr. Trump. He's given us no reason to withdraw our support. He's been a champion for the sanctity of human life and religious liberty. He has sent over 150 constitutionalists to the federal bench, and he remains committed to protecting our national sovereignty by sealing our southern border. A Republican senator who votes to convict Donald Trump will face the wrath of the vast majority of evangelicals in this country, and trust me, by the time they cast their vote, they will know it.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. One of the darkest blots on Nancy Pelosi's record as Democratic leader in the House of Representatives has been her practice of politicizing a House Intelligence Committee that has historically been generally operated on a nonpartisan basis. Instead of selecting panel members from her caucus for their strong backgrounds in national security and willingness to work across the aisle in overseeing the intelligence community, she has entrusted these sensitive positions to political hacks. Exhibit A is the panel's chairman, Representative Adam Schiff. Yesterday, Congressman Schiff's unchecked partisanship and his serial, seemingly congenital lying were dramatically exposed. He falsely denied having collaborated with the so-called whistleblower, whose hearsay-based allegations have precipitated House Democrats' impeachment inquiry aimed at driving President Trump from office. Adam Schiff is clearly unfit to preside over impeachment-related hearings and the important work the House Intelligence Committee should be doing instead. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Okay, Sandy Rios back with you. We're going to go right to the phone lines and get as much time with you as we possibly can. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Let's go first to Texas and talk to Eric. Good morning, Eric.
Hello, how you doing?
Hello?
How you doing? Hello, hello.
Beast thou there? Okay.
Yes, I am.
You know what? Do we need to change something on the board here, guys?
Hello? Hello.
All right. Lynn, let's go to Karen in Kansas. Good morning, Karen.
Hi. My family...
Yeah, I'm not hearing anything, you guys.
Can you hear me?
Hold on. Yeah, so let's check the board out here for me while I chat away. All right, so I think the basic, I don't, okay, it's ready now? Okay, very good. Sorry about that, Eric. Call us back if you can, 888-589-8840. Now, Karen in Kansas, good morning.
Good morning to you. Half of my family is pro-Trump, and half of them are very liberal. One of my nieces teaches school in a public school at high school level in journalism, and she said, I'm going to make sure those kids get it straight. And so that means for her that they're going to learn all the propaganda. She's not going to make, she's not going to let them make their own decisions. She's going to feed them full of lies. But the other thing that I had to ask you real fast, Sandy, is how are they weaponizing the internet? Because at the same time that President Obama had did all the unmasking, you know, the rights to the unmasking and such, he gave away the internet to the UN. How is that being weaponized?
I can't really speak to that part where they gave the license, they gave it up to the international body as opposed to keeping it controlled in America. I can't speak to that, but I can speak to this. In fact, let me say to each one of you listening, I think maybe my interview tomorrow with Zach Vorteis is maybe one of the most important interviews I've ever done. And that says a lot, doesn't it? But Zach was with Google for, I think, I'm 10 years or so. And he has now, risking his life, has come out and is talking about what Google is actually doing to manage the search engine, sort out what they call fake news. What they call fake news is what they call news that is, to them, not fair. It is not that it's not true. It's just that it's not fair. An illustration is when you put in a search for instance, CEOs of major companies, maybe Fortune 500 companies, the results will come up with women's names, with minority names, when in reality, most CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are white males. It just is that way. And the search engine, as we used to think, it was neutral, and it would come up with what was true. But they stack it because they don't think the truth is fair. And so they do the same thing with news articles, and they make sure they use keywords to send you to articles. I've just been noticing I can't find the words to make it quick. They are using several very clever, brilliant methods to keep the American people from actually seeing the news that I read every day and bring to you every day. Most people never hear that. That's why your neighbors and friends are so confused. And Karen, that's why your teacher education friends don't have an idea. That's why Josh is so uninformed, really, about what's really true. He thinks he knows because when he searches, all the things that the left wants him to believe come up and all the other things are censored. Now, that doesn't mean you can't find it if you know what you're looking for. But please tune in tomorrow and tell your friends because that's going to be an important interview that will kind of peel back how we are being manipulated and the dangers of it. And so, Karen, just stay. I always feel truth. I don't care. Truth is powerful. Our God is the God of truth. And as much as we speak the truth about anything, we represent him. All truth is God's truth. And so, and Satan, on the other hand, is the father of lies. Couldn't be any more different in terms of their character qualities. And so we will continue to speak the truth because our Father, the God of all truth, expects us to do that, and he is the God of all power. So I believe truth will prevail eventually. I don't know when. It may be decades, but it's going to prevail. Thanks a lot, Karen. Good question, and God bless you as you try to deal with your family that I know you love. Let's go to Bill in Alabama. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Sandy. How are you doing today?
Good. What's on your mind, Bill?
I want to let you know, yes, we hear what's going on with our president. We are concerned. I am a black male in Alabama. I'm 54 years old. I'm middle class, and I fight for the rights of my president. He has done great things. He has done great things when we got in office for blacks. Oh, he is the president of all of us, and we need to think hard and long about the travesty that the Democrats are trying to do, the injustice that they're doing right now. And we need to go to the polls, and we need to put more conservative people that are thinking, like our president in office, so our country can move forward. Our country's in a great place, and I believe it's going to go higher, and no weapon formed against our president is going to prosper because we are behind it, and we're praying. And we're praying for you also, Sandy. Keep up the great work on your show. I listen every morning.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate that. That's a high compliment. I really believe it. I really believe it. Listen, Bill, could I confess to you that I'm on like 10 different medicines this morning because I'm sick? So my brain is kind of like, I'm hoping my words are correct, but they maybe won't always be. But I appreciate your prayers this morning, Bill. Thank you so much. Let's go to Lori in Oklahoma. Good morning, Lori. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. You know, I guess I've been a little bit in awe of how little I've heard anyone speak of the Joe Biden-Trump situation. I feel like there's just this blanket of toxic confusion here that just hits the area. I recently spoke about a month ago at a church teaching about how to identify human trafficking, and this was a church that was predominantly a church of color, and I was sitting waiting for my time to go and do the speak, and I was listening to some people talking, and they were still repeating lies that Trump is putting children in cages. Their inability to know the facts or even sift the facts from lies it just blows my mind. The gentleman who had wrote the letter who talked about Rosh Hashanah, I don't understand why someone who is Jewish would be even deceived by the Democratic Party with the lies that they teach and how anti-Semitic they are. I mean, that alone should send red flags to them. It's alarming how toxic the lies are and how easily they are swallowed.
Yes, and let me just say, Becky, for the black community, they tend to, they are used to narrative more than maybe the white community. Okay, what I mean by that, I think that coming down through their experience, American experience, has been a lot of carrying things by word of mouth, narrative sometimes that the white community never hears. But the word of mouth is powerful in that community, and they depend on that. Maybe in some ways more than the white community. Okay, but so the white community, though, like represented by Josh, who's Jewish, they're deceived in other ways. Because Josh, I'm sure, does a lot of research. He's also part of the education establishment. You've never seen, I think, an area of the country where people are more brainwashed than teachers right now. Not all teachers. A lot of them listen to this show and call in. But I imagine they would confess to you that most teachers are completely blinded to the things that I'm saying, or unaware, or think that I'm lying. And let me explain it to you this way. This is a preview again of tomorrow's show. Remember that about 2 years ago, 500 people were shot and injured at that Las Vegas concert. And you remember that there was this guy up in the hotel shooting down from below. And you also may remember that we never did find out what happened. I mean, even to this day, who Stephen Paddock, who was he? Who was he affiliated with? Was there more than one shooter? Zach, who's the whistleblower from Google tomorrow, will tell us the fact that I asked him about that particular story because I know someone who's researched that and is just appalled by what the American people don't know. But Zach explained it. He said that when that happened, Google went into overdrive to block out anything about Stephen Paddock, anything that was written that said that there was more than one shooter, anything that linked Stephen Paddock with the left, with Hillary Clinton, anything at all. They just shut it down. They made it unavailable. They scrapped it. So that's why we don't know anything about what happened in Las Vegas, probably the largest mass shooting in our country. That's the power that Google has right now. So if you wonder why your friends, why the teachers, why your neighbors, why black Americans in that church don't know the truth, that's a huge part of it, because our information is being controlled. And so please stay tune in tomorrow to listen to that. Becky, thank you for your comments. Let's go to Sandra in Oklahoma. Good morning, Sandra.
Good morning. Thank you, Sandy, for taking my call.
You're welcome.
It's amazing that we
I never had any, I just kind of, the government was the government until Barack Obama got in and I started listening to AFR, and it's just been an ongoing thing. And I just want to thank you and AFR for championing the truth and continuing to push forward in a climate where we don't get the correct information.
Yeah, well, you're welcome for that, Sandra. We're doing our best, and I appreciate those kind words. Let's go to Courtney in West Virginia. Courtney, are you there?
Oh, hello, Sandy. Good morning.
Good morning. What's on your mind, Courtney?
Well, I am a former public school educator, now a homeschool mom of four. I don't Facebook, so my only outlet is like the newspaper, the editorial section.
Yeah.
And just this week, I felt led to write in about Adam Schiff. And I, my tagline was something like, "Does Adam Schiff fancy himself a modern-day H.G. Wells?" Because I feel like the difference is he had an intent to harm, frighten, and cause hysteria, and the Dems don't realize just how intelligent we are, and that the American people, we come from, you know, different social, economic, religious backgrounds, and that's like a great patchwork of mental capacity. They treat us as if we're ignorant, but we're not. Just give us the facts and we can discern this for ourselves. Stop spinning it and just tell the truth.
Courtney, did they print your editorial?
Not yet, but they're going to.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good for you. And we need more people like you to you speak up. I always say, what do I say? Stand up, speak up, and you're doing it in the way that you can. So God bless you for doing that, Courtney. Let's go to Jerry in Texas. Good morning, sir. What's on your mind?
Good morning. I love listening to you.
Thank you.
About this Google thing, I get these different news blogs, conservative things on my email or something that I read, and then I want to post them. So I can post them to Twitter, okay, but when I go to post them to Facebook, I get this message, cannot print this because certain people deem this to be inappropriate.
Yep. Yep.
It's been going over 6 weeks.
Well, Jerry, it's been going on. You think now you're personally experiencing what's actually been happening. Facebook is a whole other issue. They have a group of, I forgot what they call them, but they're managers, editors, whatever, and they are all on the left. There's and they review content, and if you say something that doesn't, you know, comport with their idea of fairness, you're not going to be heard. And so, yes, they're managing information on Facebook, on Google, everywhere. And that's what we're up against. And so, really, your only recourse, it seems to me, unless you know what you're looking for, like I use DuckDuckGo, as I've told you all and I've encouraged you to go to that, you have to know what you're looking for. That's why I try to post articles for you on Facebook so you have something to refer to that you can trust. You can actually find things if you still know the name of the article and the place that you're looking. Or you can go directly to the website of some of these news outlets. There is a way to get information. But in general, if you just do search terms, you're not going to find conservative news. You're going to have a steady diet of CNN, MSNBC, and the narrative of the left. Here's the thing, Jerry, thank you so much for your call. And thanks to all of you. I'm sorry, of course, we never get to all of your calls. And I apologize for that. But we're going to keep trying. We live in an age of deceit, but this is not new. I think of my friends in the Soviet Union who were deceived for 60 years, and then the veil was lifted, and they were, I remember being there, and everyone I interviewed was like in a state of shock because all they had ever been told, the rug was pulled out from under them in a very profound way. That's going to be the truth for a lot of Americans, but it's time to fight, not to give up. For whatever reason, I feel optimistic. I do trust God. I think that's the reason. So keep fighting, keep speaking the truth. And Josh, thank you for listening. Sandy Rios, in the morning, AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.